This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Let's get to Hauser here. Hauser, Daily Mail reports that Kanye and his wife, Bianca, have split and plan to divorce. You are on the pulse of Hollywood celebrities. I mean, Kanye seems like a stable, nice guy. Sure, he's hanging out at Temple Israel a lot. Tell me your inside information on Kanye and Bianca and why they split.
I thought you were going to say, and he's announced he's moving to Minnesota to run for the U.S. Senate.
I'm not eliminating it.
He could make it happen. I'm just saying.
Yes, yes. Or he's going to stay where he's living, and he's running for the 40B seat. I mean, come on. I mean, why not?
It's been tried before with less than desirable results. Wouldn't it be great, though, if you could run for office wherever you have available Zoom technology. So, like,
that's
you can
right.
run from Palm Springs, for instance. I'm just saying, if a guy were so inclined. But
hypothetically, if that's where I was, I'm going to run for the Botswana mayor. You know, I mean, I can get that on Zoom, can I?
As long as you have a viable Zoom IP address, you can do whatever you want to do.
0 to 10, your surprise level when you watched the video and Tina Smith said, for personal, not political reasons, this is it. She's not running for re-election. And when the election takes place in 2026, she's going back. She's going to be a grandma. She's going to spend time with her dad and her family. And this is it. 0 to 10, how surprised were you? 0 is not at all. 10. Gobsmacked.
I've got to be honest with you. It was about a 5 because every time we've done our KSTP Survey USA polling, Stephen Scheer and I have sat down and gone through the numbers. And the one thing we agreed on each time was that Tina Smith has a problem in that her number of people who have no opinion of her is alarmingly large for someone who's been in office since 2018. I'm looking at our last numbers from early this month. Now, she had a 47% approval rating, which is not horrible, although I should point out it's the same as what Donald Trump has in the state.
Yes. Amy Klobuchar, I think that's noteworthy. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Amy Klobuchar is at 57, Tim Walz at 52. But here's where a number that's encouraging for her. Her disapproval was only 28 compared to 31 for Klobuchar and 44 for Governor Walz. But here's her problem. 25% had no opinion of someone who's been in office for nearly 7 years. That compares to 12% for Klobuchar and only 4% for Walls. I mean, people have made up their minds about Tim Walls, and that's a problem when you're going into a very volatile election year. If you've got to spend a lot of time, even though you're the incumbent, trying to tell people who you are and what you've accomplished, that number is a problem. So we have said for really several months, we wouldn't be surprised if she didn't run, but I had no idea which way she was leaning. Just a week ago, she was said in an interview, I think on NPR, she had every intention of running. So, you know, I took her at her word for that, but she says now she's got grandkids and her father is getting older, and I can totally understand why wouldn't you want to spend more time with those people than the people in Washington, especially when you're in the minority, at least the next 2 years, maybe longer.
And I'm sure good reporting will take place from you and others to see if there's anything else besides this decision. I'm not suggesting she's not telling the truth, but guess what? You are paid good money to check and confirm if anything else is going on. Going back to the non-opinion, I'll go with what I said at the start of the show. When people think of Tim Walz, they're going to think of a variety of things tied to his run as governor, good and bad. Same thing with Klobuchar. Same thing with Emmer. Same thing with Ilhan Omar. Go down the list. Tom, Tina Smith does not have a signature issue. She's aligned with the Democrats pretty much 100%. As the former head of Planned Parenthood, she certainly spoke out against the Dobbs decision. But so did every Democrat on the planet. So I don't feel like she ever had a calling card where if issues A, B, and C came up, you knew Tina Smith, was going to be a part of it. And that's on her. That's on her and her staff for not carving out that niche. Is that a fair statement and criticism of Smith?
You know, it is fair. I mean, I would, when I think of Tina Smith, I do think of someone who fights for women's rights, especially when it comes to the abortion issue. Part of that has to do, as you mentioned, her background with Planned Parenthood. But she was a huge advocate for women's rights in that area. But as you point out, so were a number of Democrats. Amy Klobuchar has kind of carved out this consumer protection thing that every voter can relate to, whether it be pool drains or, you know, name the consumer issue where people's lives might be at stake. They think of Amy Klobuchar. Tim Walz is all over the board. A lot of it was spending a lot of money on free school lunches and, you know, any number of things. His fight during COVID, trying to protect Minnesotans.
Yes.
And then maybe not a great report card on dealing with George Floyd and the National Guard and all of that. But Tina Smith, there is no one signature thing, but you can't say that was due to incompetence, because she was a very competent senator, just not someone who I never found to be real comfortable with trying to steal the limelight. You know, she, until she became lieutenant governor, she was always kind of in the background.
Behind the scenes.
Minneapolis politics or state politics, the DFL party, Planned Parenthood. And I don't know that she was ever totally comfortable being in that front row.
Fair. Yep.
Deal, kind of like Amy Klobuchar, clearly relishes that role.
Let's pause, make it a short break, come back with Tom, and let's run through some names, including, is it possible we could see a Senate race on the DFL side, Tim Walz opposing Peggy Flanagan? Could that really take place? Hauser, back with his moments on CCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Houserman is here. Okay. Peggy Flanagan, about four seconds after Tina Smith's video hit the web, I'm in. She is announcing she's running for the Senate seat. Multiple reports suggesting the governor is interested in the position. Let's go back to our 0 to 10 game, Tom. 0, there's no chance. 10, it is a mortar lock. Are we staring at Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan, governor and lieutenant governor, facing off to win the nomination for the Democrats as the Democrat to be on the ballot next November to be the next senator in Minnesota?
So on 0 to 10, what do I think the chances are, essentially? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's it. That they're going to oppose each other.
I would say, because I don't want to be too wishy-washy and go 5, yeah. I would say it's a 6. Because yes. I don't know, it's hard anywhere to run for the same office 3 times and be successful. I saw it happen with Governor Terry Branstad down in Iowa when I worked down there, and he, I think, won election 4 times in a row. But it's pretty rare because voters tend to tire of you in one role. Now, does it not make a difference whether he runs for governor or Senate? Are people going to be tired of him either way? It's hard to say, but, you know, what more is there left to accomplish as governor after 8 years that you're going to do in yet another 4? I just think maybe it would be in his interest to run for the U.S. Senate and go back to Washington. And I think I would almost assure you, Peggy Flanagan did not consult with him in those 4 seconds before yes. She made this announcement because she wanted to get to the head of the line. Now, yep. Just because you're first in line doesn't mean you're going to finish first, but it means you're out there. We're talking about her right now, and so she's in the conversation. That, I think, was her goal.
Okay. So he's told multiple people, yourself included, that he's going to make a decision sometime in the summer if he's going to run for governor. All those interviews took place before the Tina Smith announcement. So I assume it's going to be the same thing, right? That if Governor Walz is going to either run for reelection or back up everything you just said, hey, you know, third terms, it's hard. It there's a lot of blowback. I can still be a part of politics. I can go back to D.C. I have some cachet now. I would assume it's the same timeline. Now, Flanagan's not getting out. That's clear. Do you think the rest of the field, though, would clear? Would they say, okay, he's the big name. We're not knocking him off. Or could we just see some Donnybrook for the Democrats where there's an Angie Craig, there's an Ilhan Omar? Take your pick. 4 or 5 big names are running for that Senate seat.
I don't see either Peggy Flanagan or Governor Walz to be candidates who will clear the field. He'll go, oh, well, he's running or she's running. I got no shot. I'm not going to run. Especially when you have, you know, Democrats have a fairly deep bench. Angie Craig as you mentioned,
yeah.
You know, winning in a swing district and more convincingly this last time than any other time. She would be a good statewide candidate for Democrats. There are other people. I mean, there's been talk about Al Franken making a comeback.
Stop.
There's a guy with deep pockets, 100% name recognition, you know, but is he damaged goods? Is it not something he wants to pursue now that he's, what is he, 70 yet?
Yeah, he's
of course,
done.
It doesn't matter anymore. The president's 80, whatever. So
yeah.
Right. I guess age is not as big of a factor as it used to be.
Al, Dave looks it up, 73. Okay. For the Republicans, I'm buying Emmer. I think Emmer has so much power and is so close to the speaker position. I don't think he's running. I am assuming one of the two seats Stauber is going to run for. I know what he's saying now, but then we get a lot of names, including on the media celebrity side. Michelle Tafoya, Liz Collin. What's your feel on the Republican side, and what kind of chance do they have to win this seat and become the first Republican senator since Norm Coleman and become the first Republican to win a statewide race since Tim Pawlenty?
Gotcha. I don't know that this is a celebrity candidate kind of year. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think there are so many potentially really qualified candidates. Of those people you mentioned, I could see Michelle Tafoya maybe breaking through some of that more than others because, you know, she left a great job in the NFL broadcasting to kind of,
for sure,
for a little dalliance in politics, getting involved, being more outspoken. And she was even starting that while she was still on national television. And mm-hmm. I could see people taking her seriously as a candidate more than some of the others. But, you know, it's, you know, then you've got Dean Phillips. Did you mention Dean Phillips?
I didn't mention Dean. I mentioned how Dean's wording was interesting. And Dean is going to join us Monday to address it. So I won't be shocked if he's on a national show this weekend. But he's going to talk to us Monday, most likely starting the show.
I would be shocked if he would decide to run because he has told you, me, and anybody who will listen, I'm not running for office again. And I can't remember if when I had him on At Issue, if I asked him specifically, what if a U.S. Senate? I'll have to go back and look. But he was just
He said he discounted both. But then today he said, it's not my intent. So
but he also said
wording matters.
It's important to keep your word. So it's not my intention to run. So you know, I would be gobsmacked if he decided to run. But it's amazing to me the names that are popping up. Kristen Robbins, who is a member of the Minnesota House, her name is out there. As you mentioned, Tom Emmer, who came very close.
I've heard Tom Hauser's name.
Yeah, good luck with that. People forget how close Tom Emmer came to being governor in 2010. I mean, it was a very close race.
He's got too much power, though, right now. He's
He's got a pretty good gig, as they say. It's kind of like you. You know, why would you leave that to run for the Senate?
Yeah, and plus, I have too much dirt. That's the problem, you know.
Well, there is that.
I mean, can I be senator from the Palm Desert? I mean, I think it's possible, right?
As long as you have a viable Zoom connection, you can serve from anywhere, and I will back you.
Thank you, sir. Tom, all over this tonight on Channel 5. Be well, my friend.
All right, and by the way, I'm talking to Tina Smith in about 15 minutes, so we'll have some of my interview with her tonight and again on At Issue on Sunday.
Excellent. Mr. Hauser, worth checking that out later today on Channel 5. We got a little CBS. We got a little bit of Ari, and at 2:35, we get a little bit of the next governor, Senator Jason Darshaw.